cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Backtracks Theme Music. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by John Mariano. How's it going tonight, John?
Not as good as it was going the first time you did the introduction, Corey.
I'm allowed to have one blown take.
Look, the fans didn't know, but the only way they'll know is I call you out on your bullshit in the editing. And Corey's sitting here like he's big top stud editor, where he fumbles over the opening line and then turns around and is like 3, 2, 1 and back into it as if nobody's going to notice. Well, I'm here to do the commentary on it so folks know.
Who hurt you? Why are you such a jerk tonight? We're going to have a good time. We're doing a party song. I got my party people with me. Not so much you, but we brought along a special guest. And I've been really, really hoping she would come on board and do a song with us here. If you know her, you love her. She's absolutely one of the best people on the planet and on the Twitter sphere. Our good friend, Christy McGee. Christy, how's it going?
Oh, it is going very great. I'm extremely happy to be here with both of you, despite whatever John's got going on over there.
I tell you, he's just been grumpy as fuck lately. And, you know, I'm so glad to have somebody else who's actually happy with their life and their choices on the show with me, resplendent in a wonderful shirt that I don't want to spoil. I want you to kind of have the opportunity to let the folks know what song and from what movie we're covering tonight.
So I guess if you know anything about me, you might know that there is an actor that I am particularly fond of, one Mr. Tom Hanks. And when I heard that there was this music tied in with movies podcast going on, and I was maybe gently persuaded to talk about Tom Hanks, there was only one movie that really came to mind immediately, and I just had to go with it. So my shirt right now says The Wonders or The Oneaters, because we are doing That Thing You Do.
Yes, That Thing You Do. I love this movie. I love this soundtrack from 1996. John, geez, put a smile on your face and tell us how much you love That Thing You Do.
It's like a middle of the road Tom Hanks movie for me. But I mean, that's saying I really love this movie, right? Like, how many, like, a middle of the road Tom Hanks movie is like a great movie by anyone else's measure. And this is something that is special because it's his, right? Like, it's wholly his. He wrote it, he directs it, right? He makes appearances in it, his kid makes an appearance in it. I don't remember. Does Rita Wilson make an appearance in it too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and she looks really hot.
Absolutely.
And she also chimed in, I think, with some of the casting and maybe some notes on the writing as well. I know he wrote this while he was working on Forrest Gump. So it's like peak. We're in peak Hanks as he's working on this, right? And I say that as a bachelor party fan and like, I love 80s Hanks, but 90s Hanks really peak Hanks.
Absolutely. This is right in the middle of the Hankissance back in the 90s, you know, starting with kind of like A League of Their Own, and then into movies like Philadelphia and then Forrest Gump, and then segueing from Apollo 13 right into That Thing You Do. Like you mentioned, John, he wrote and directed it. He's only written one movie since. Greyhound, I think, was on Apple TV not that long ago.
I just want to note that Corey somehow glossed over he was also in Saving Private Ryan in the 90s.
That was in 98. That came after this.
Right, but he was still in it, and like you shouldn't like miss that one. That was another
I'm not missing one. Shit. I was doing them in order. This came in 96.
You eat a dick, Corey.
Man, come
boys,
on.
Boys.
I tell you, I've only done like what, 7 or 8 of these shows, and I'm ready to quit. This son of a bitch.
Listen, did I ever tell you boys look good in white? You guys look great in white.
So all of this grumpiness, just to give people more background, is immediately before we went on the air, I was going very low energy, trying to reserve my energy for the show, and Corey was making me eat shit about it, and he was sitting there going, John, you need to go high energy. So not only am I going high energy, I'm going fuck you energy to Corey.
This is full peak Mariano here, folks. So I suggest turning away now if that kind of thing turns you off, which it does most humans. But stick around for Christy McGee because she is just absolutely delightful. Mother of Biddy, amongst other things, looking great in her Oneaters shirt. I can't wait to dig into this one. Written by Adam Schlesinger, who is a favorite of Ken Napsok, but you should know, John.
But before we dig into it, and Adam Schlesinger is wonderful. mm-hmm. right? And that's a play on words for you folks, for the wonders. Oh. But Christy, what are your three favorite traits about Mr. Hanks as we get into this? Like, why do you love Tom Hanks?
I find the sound of his voice very comforting and very familiar. I think his smile is very sweet, and everything I hear about him is just always so positive.
Man, if Tom Hanks is listening, Tom, I really hope you are. Do I have a phone number for you? Just give me a call and I will give it out to you.
It's not like that.
It's not that kind of relationship, John.
It's not like that.
Christy, he's America's daddy for a reason.
Oh, have mercy, sir.
But I can't wait to get into this one, especially with a diehard Tom Hanks fan. I just want to give you all just a little taste of the brilliance of this movie.
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins, and I'm going to scare the hell out of you.
What do you think of the song so far, John?
So I haven't watched the movie in a while, but I'm pretty sure that was Saturday Night Live.
Really? Did I hit the wrong thing?
That was David Pumpkins.
Oh, you're right. That was David Pumpkins. We're going to That Thing You Do, 1996. Christy, tell us a little bit about the plot of That Thing You Do.
The plot of That Thing You Do, it is about a band from a small town in Pennsylvania who wins a talent show and then all of a sudden sort of skyrockets to stardom and goes on a crazy adventure. And there's a lot of interpersonal drama and a lot about the music business. And then it all sort of blows up in a minute. And it's pretty amazing.
I love anything when 1950s, 60s music way back in the day. And this is a great little love letter to those older style movies. John, you said that this was kind of a mid-level Tom Hanks for you. Maybe elaborate a little bit more.
Well, like, I don't know. I have so many favorite Hanks. So to get to mid-level, like, you have the romantic comedies or the romance movies of, like, Sleepless in Seattle is, like, top-notch. You've got Mal, I love. All the ones that we mentioned in the mid-90s, I'm a big fan of Bosom Buddies and his work, like his comedy work in Bachelor Party and even The Burbs. So it's not a knock on That Thing You Do. It's just by the time I'm reaching into my wheelhouse to get there, I've probably watched about 8 to 20 other Tom Hanks movies just because he's Tom Hanks.
Fair enough. But the fact that this was like Tom Hanks's baby, I think really kind of resonates with me. Like, he wrote it, directed it. Even worked on some of the music, if I remember correctly.
Right. But if I want to spend time with Tom Hanks, I'm going to watch Castaway because he's in like every shot of that movie.
It's true. And very, very good in that movie, too. In the movie, That Thing You Do peaked at number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 in the summer of 1964. In real life, it peaked at number 41. So it was a little more successful in the movie than it was in real life. But it was nominated for Best Song at the Academy Awards and somehow didn't win. I still think that's one of the more egregious Oscar snubs of all time, because this song was absolutely better than anything that came out that year.
But do you think it was held back on the charts in that it came out during the peak of, I think it's more impressive where it charted in the 90s. It was like the peak of grunge and like Gen Xer, I don't give a shit music. Mm-hmm. And I love that music, but that's kind of like the tone of it. It's like optimistic 50s music at its peak. And for this to chart at all when it came out, I think is one of the most impressive things.
You know, that's a great point. And I didn't listen to a lot of music in the 90s because I'm old and cantankerous like John. But Christy, you're much, much younger than we are. What were you listening to in the mid-90s?
So I would have been in middle school. So I was still listening to a lot of what my parents were listening to. I hadn't really found my own music yet. I was like another year away from discovering Metallica. So I was listening to like a lot of Beach Boys and Elton John.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I just looked it up, John. I wanted to get your take on this. At the Oscars in 1997, That Thing You Do was nominated along with a song from The Mirror Has Two Faces, written by Barbara Streisand, Bryan Adams, and Mutt Lange. One Fine Day from the movie One Fine Day. Up Close and Personal, Because You Loved Me, written by Diane Warren. And the winner was You Must Love Me from Evita, which was from a play. So I don't see how that's an original song,
So it might have been an original song for the movie, but Evita was Madonna, right? Like the pedigree of those songwriters in that group.
Well, she didn't write it, though. Andrew Lloyd Webber did.
Right, no, but Madonna sang it.
Yeah.
Right? Andrew Lloyd Webber is quite the pedigree himself. So the pedigree of the songwriters and the song performers versus this, what was considered this little Tom Hanks movie, miracle to get nominated when you really think about what this was up against with bigger fare, I think is an impressive feat by itself. Like, it's one thing to say, like, well, it didn't win against that stuff, but it was nominated in, like, a Hall of Fame class.
Well, good point. Barbara Streisand, Marvin Hamlisch, Bryan Adams, and Mutt Lange. Like, how's that for a group of songwriters?
And they lost two. Like,
they lost two.
It tied with them.
Yeah, good point. All right, folks, anything else you want to say about That Thing You Do before we break into it?
So I know that in the movie that they play this song, at least parts of it, 11 times. And I think that actually might be part of the reason why I like it so much, because sometimes repetition really, really just does it for me. So this song gets drilled into your head only watching the movie once.
And it's amazing you don't get sick of it after hearing parts of it 11 times throughout the film. But even when they
play it the last time, you just keep humming it forever.
It's really, really catchy. Adam Schlesinger did a fantastic job with this one. Here we go, folks. This is That Thing You Do by The Wonders from the movie That Thing You Do. Okay, so Christy's just bopping along. I'm kind of bopping along. John is sitting there stone-faced. What are you thinking, John? Are you that miserable listening to this? Like,
No. I was wondering to myself, and pun intended, I was wondering to myself. This is going to be a thing all night, folks. I'll be wondering all night. But I was actually wondering, we were talking about songs charting in the 90s. And this is a very catchy tune right from the get-go. And I was trying to remember when Weezer hit, because it feels like this could have been a Weezer song with a little bit more distortion, right? Like, it feels like it could fit in that type of wheelhouse, even though it's a catchy 50s song. And Weezer hits in like 92. So, like, if it were pushed in the right direction, even in the 90s, something as optimistic as this and catchy as this probably could have gotten a little bit more play, especially if the studio was smart about it, where they released like the 50s version and then like the distorted grunge version to fit 90s radio.
And Weezer would have done a killer job of this song too. 96 would have been the Pinkerton era for Weezer. What do you think, Christy? Are you getting like a Weezer vibe from this one?
I can definitely see that, especially because that Buddy Holly video keeps popping into my head, and that already has like a retro thing going on anyway. So that really, really makes this a close connection.
Yeah, that was just 2 years previous. So yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I could see Weezer doing a really good cover of this. And we were talking like this song has been covered a ton. The Knack actually did a version of it. NSYNC performed it in concert. Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day did a cover version in 2020. REO Brothers recorded one. A Japanese ska band called Shaka Labbits, which I know John is a big fan of, they did a cover of this one. So
I've seen them 3 times.
Really? Are they good live?
I don't know. They didn't play what live.
Oh, gotcha.
I gotta ask you guys, right? Questions like this come up all the time when songs aren't specific for me. What is that thing you do?
let's let Christy handle that one, because she asked me before the recording started, and I gave her one explanation that she wasn't a fan of. So Christy, you tell us what that thing is.
Well, I think it's probably a very personal thing, and it's none of your business.
You know what? It's blowjobs. I'll just come out and say it. It's blowjobs. It's probably my second favorite song about oral sex, next to Crying by Aerosmith. All the clues are there. We all know what that thing you do is.
Okay,
you wreck everything.
Wait. Walk us through this, Corey, because Christy and I are very oppositional to your theory here.
Okay. Well, and I mentioned the second half of the song is about anal, and here's a great example. I don't ask a lot, girl, but I know one thing's for sure. It's the love I haven't got, girl, and I just can't take it anymore. He's talking about anal.
I actually think he's talking a meat sandwich.
You always take it to sandwiches. Go a little deeper, John. It may not be about food this time.
Okay, it says love, right? What is love to you? Corey, what is love to you?
What is love to me?
Yes.
Anal.
Okay, Christy, what is love to you?
Sandwiches.
I also vote sandwiches. So it's sandwiches, Corey. You lost 2-1. The song is about sandwiches, like big, meaty.
Could be happy, can't you see? If right. You'd only let me be the one to hose you. Oh, sorry, that's hold you.
Yeah, hold the sandwich.
Hold the sandwich. It's a man singing to a sandwich. That's that thing you do.
I don't recall there being a sandwich prominent in the movie.
No, it's implied.
It's a metaphor, sandwich.
So it's the anal, John. It's also implied.
Sandwiches are sometimes a metaphor for weed. So maybe it's about weed.
It could be.
No, Corey, don't die on this hill, because one of the lines is you'll be mine someday. And if this is about anal, that's a little threatening and a little non-consenty. It should be about a sandwich.
We don't want that.
Yeah, you don't have to get consent from a sandwich, right, Christy?
Correct.
Because I have tried. I've made my sandwich. I've asked it permission to eat it. I've asked its permission to lick it. And I have to do all my licking and eating without getting consent from my sandwich.
Andy's single, ladies.
Okay, so I was just thinking that there's a point in the song when all of the characters are listening to radios waiting for the song to come on. Mm-hmm. And when it does, I think that is one of the happiest scenes I have ever seen in a movie in my entire life. I get so emotional every time.
Love that scene. Thank you for bringing that up. That's such a great sequence, because you have them dancing in the store and then you see the car pulling up and everybody flying out of it. And you feel the joy with them at that moment as their song's being played on the radio. Forget all that anal stuff, folks. I was just kidding. This is really a joyous song. And that's such a joyous moment in the film. You can't help but make you smile. And John is sitting there stone face again. John, do you feel any sort of joy listening to this song?
I was just grooving and dancing. And my stone face is you shut the song off so we can do the show.
Christy, wait.
I was having so much fun dancing. And then we had to do the show. That's why I got stone-faced. I didn't want to do the show. I wanted to dance.
What do you think about the song itself, John? We have, I'm not sure who the musicians were on this, but Mike Viola sang lead vocals on this, and I think he sounds tremendous.
Well, I know that the group practiced for like 8 weeks to do the song. There was 11 times or whatever the period.
Like the actual
in
actors?
The movie. I think it was the actual actors practiced. Like, so I don't know if it's them playing or what, but... I don't know. Like, it's a catchy song. I think it really, for me, is the entire vibe of this movie. It's short. It's catchy. There's not, and I don't mean this offensively to Mr. Hanks, there isn't a lot to it as far as it's meant to be an easy watch. It's not meant to be like a very heavy watch. The movie itself is supposed to feel like a pop song, and it does. And I think that's the Hanks's credit in directing, in writing. Right. And even in selecting his actors, their performances are very light and fun. And even the conflicts within the band are played in a way that the news reports in the 50s would portray it, not really news reports in the 90s would have reported it. right? Like, it isn't given those heavier overtones and controversies of the 90s. It's free of all that. It's supposed to be before Kennedy got shot. It's supposed to be all like the world before and feel like the world before. And that's what Hanks wanted. And it feels very much like that. And the song expresses that, I think, perfectly.
Absolutely. It was a different time where song titles were like Loving You Lots and Lots, which is the first song from this soundtrack. Like, it was all very kind of innocent.
So just to contrast it, do you know my favorite song from the 90s, Corey?
Your favorite song from the 90s?
Yes.
No, I don't know.
It's from a band. So we have the Wonders or the O'Neaters, mm-hmm. and That Thing You Do Here. So we can contrast that with I Was a Child of the 90s. Unlike Christy, I had progressed to the point where I discovered my own music. I discovered a band named Type O Negative.
Oh, yes.
And Type O Negative has a song that's called Unsuccessfully Coping with the Natural Beauty of Infidelity, also known as I Know You're Fucking Someone Else. That's the furthest thing you can get from That Thing You Do.
I agree, because you played that song for me after our last recording session, and it is the exact opposite of That Thing You Do. It's quite shocking. And Christy's sitting here just like mortified.
So Christy, just to fill in that tidbit, we're talking about how light and airy this movie is, and I'm trying to show the audience, like, no, this is the kind of shit we listened to in the 90s, right? And not everybody listened to everything that deep or heavy, but it was a lot of messy music overall. Like, it was not the neat, fun, poppy stuff. It wasn't like La Bamba. It wasn't like Johnny B. Goode. It wasn't like Buddy Holly songs. The 90s music was dirty,
it was greasy,
cynical. And this is not that. And that's, I think, the point of this movie that Tom Hanks was trying to make, is in a time of so much cynicism, and we're mid-90s by the time this movie comes out. And he had been in some pretty dark fare. Like, he was in Philadelphia. He did this on Forrest Gump, which is, people say, is a feel-good movie. But when you look at it, there's a lot of depressing shit that happens in that movie. And it's all about the loss of innocence from this era to the era that we live in today. That's what Forrest Gump is actually, go back and watch the movie, folks. That's what the movie's about. So this movie is more about Hanks having that nostalgia for that innocence that we lose in Forrest Gump. And there's kind of a good narrative there.
Great point, John. Tom Hanks won that Academy Award for Forrest Gump, not for the goofy stuff, but for the scenes where, like, Jenny passed away. Sorry, spoiler alert. But he does some of his best acting, I think, in those moments in Forrest Gump.
Oh, no. I think what John said was absolutely beautiful and correct.
Wow, beautiful and correct. John hasn't heard that in a long time.
No one's ever called me beautiful or correct.
There you go. Could be happy, can't you see? If you don't need, let me be the one to hold you and keep you here with me. Cause I try and try to forget you, girl, but it's just so hard to do.
So, of all the actors in this movie, like, and, you know, they're all relative, like, newcomers, or we've only seen them in a couple of movies. I feel like Ethan Embry's other 90s performances most embody the mood of this movie. Like, a little bit of Can't Hardly Wait, but a lot of his performance at Empire Records feels like he is listening to this song that entire movie.
That's a good point. He's one of my favorite characters in this movie too, because he doesn't really have a name. He's credited as TB player or the bass player. He's never mentioned by name at all in the movie. I wanted to shout out Tom Everett Scott because he didn't know a lick of drums coming into this movie, and he gives a really good performance as Guy Shades Patterson. But that guy can bang away on the skins too. Like, there's one of my favorite moments. That Thing You Do was originally written as a ballad, right? And they were going to go and do this big, I can't remember if they're going to be on TV or this is kind of like a talent show thing where Guy just said,
talent show,
yeah. And he just upped the tempo and played it at this speed. And the other guys had to keep up. I love that moment in the film. And it made the song, like, as a ballad, it kind of stinks. But at this tempo, it's phenomenal. Everybody's dancing here on the call and having a great time.
I was just thinking, when they get to this part of the song, I think about the scene where they are on the Hollywood like TV show at the end, and the scenes where their names are flashing up on the screen, and then underneath Jimmy's name it says, "Careful girls, he's engaged." And the absolute like shitstorm that that causes, it's so dramatic. And me being a middle school girl at the time watching this for the first time, Liv Tyler in that moment was everything. Like, shame on me for kissing you with my eyes so tight. Oh my God, just what a, oh, perfect.
We should just point out really quick, that is Adam Schlesinger on background vocals, and sounding amazing. It's the love I haven't got, girl, and I just can't take it anymore. Wow! Just thinking, it's funny, John, I'm on a podcast about Van Halen where we talk about Eddie Van Halen guitar solos, and you and I do a podcast on Aerosmith where we talk about Joe Perry and, to a lesser extent, Brad Whitford guitar solos. This is a guitar solo that a four-year-old can play, but it doesn't matter because it fits the song and it's super cool. And I just picture Steve Zahn, who didn't know how to play guitar, coming into this playing Lenny, nailing this guitar solo. It doesn't matter that it's not technically proficient or it's really complicated. That's how music was in the 60s.
You're gonna get killed online, dude.
Okay, probably.
Steve Zahn is an accomplished singer guitarist.
Since when?
He also played guitar and sang in Saving Silverman. Like, he played guitar before this movie.
I've never seen Saving Silverman.
Well, that's not my fault, but he's in it with Tenacious D member Jack Black, and they singing in that song in that movie. Steve Zahn knows how to play guitar. You just made an assumption about a man you don't know.
You 100% looked that up on Google.
I did.
I should have maybe done that too. But guess what? I'm editing the show. I'm going to cut that out.
I just wanted to reiterate, in case you cut it out, that Steve Zahn is an accomplished guitar player, and he's playing the guitar right now, and we're listening to Steve Zahn play the guitar. So I'm trying to see
how he's playing it right now. He did not record this song, so you're wrong there. So now I'm leaving it in because you fucked up.
Well, that's fine. Now you have to leave it in.
I'm leaving this part in. Steve Zahn, everybody knows, is an accomplished singer guitarist.
He sang in
both this movie and in Saving Silverman. Everybody knows this.
But everybody's going to know that you didn't know because you edited it out, and I'm saying it now, that he also played in Saving Silverman, and he is an accomplished guitarist, and you said he wasn't, and then you cut it out.
Poor naive John. I don't cut anything of my own out. I only cut you out.
Play the song. You're doing that thing every day, just doing that thing. I can't take you doing that thing you
do. All right, whether it be about love or about blowjobs, that is one great song from That Thing You Do, released in 1996. Oh, let's go to a little My World Is Over from the soundtrack too. Actually, if we're gonna play any other song from the soundtrack, it should be Shrimp Jack from Captain Keach and the Shrimp Jack Shooters. That's their song. I better stop. Okay.
They got to keep the wardrobe.
That's true. I just love that band name, Captain Keach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters. That's fantastic.
I do like that.
What do you think a Captain Keach is?
I'm really scared you're going to tell me it's like a disease.
Oh, I don't know. It sounds like a made up. It sounds like a made up word, but it, like, being that Corey thinks that this very innocent song about sandwiches is about anal, I'm curious to see what he thinks Captain Geach is about.
Well, venereal disease sounded about right. Like, this was the 60s, right? Anything kind of went. This is, you know, coming up to the summer of love, right? So who knows? Okay. Got a case of the Captain Geach.
I just want to point out to you, Corey.
Captain Geach at the beach.
Tom Hanks is America's dad. And you have him writing songs about anal and blowjobs.
He didn't write this song.
Adam, yeah, he didn't write that song, Johnny.
Yeah, but he put it in his movie.
He put it in his movie. Remember, he also starred in Bachelor Party. Remember that movie?
No, I never heard of it.
I thought that was one of your favorites.
Yeah. I'm more of a Bosom Buddies kind of guy.
I thought that was one of the 8 to 20 that you liked better than this one.
I have no recollection of that.
Well, Corey, rewind the tape.
Yeah, I don't edit that out.
He played Mr. Rogers, and he played Walt Disney.
That's true.
He did. Both.
One of those people is a really great human being, and the other one you should probably go look up.
Both of those movies made me cry.
And John is right, both great movies. I enjoyed both quite a bit. However, the new Elvis movie, which I enjoyed quite a bit, that's probably my only Tom Hanks performance I didn't enjoy. He's way over the top in that one. Has anyone seen it?
Not me.
Johnny?
Which movie are we talking about?
Elvis.
The Elvis movie.
No,
wait, Elvis. Is he over the top like he was in The Lady Killers?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Lady Killers currently is my least favorite Tom Hanks performance. Like, that's my last Hanks movie right now. But I have not seen Elvis yet.
It almost is a good movie. It's just that performance kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
But that's going to hurt it for me.
Did you guys like Tom Hanks in That Thing You Do as the manager?
Loved him. Loved him. I posted a GIF actually in our group chat. One of my favorite Tom Hanks moments. So just a little, Christy just did it. Just when they're doing, I think it's Dance With Me Tonight, right? When a certain drum beat,
yes.
And it is this little thing. You can tell he's just loving it and having a ball. And I love that moment. And it's such a dumb little thing, 2 seconds in this movie, but I always smile when I see that come up.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts. As soon as you posted that, I got even more excited. It's like, I'll watch this movie with my dad. He's the first person I saw this movie with. And we both do that at the same time during the movie. Like, it's so dorky.
Have you guys seen the director's cut?
I have not.
John had mentioned that, you know, the movie, kind of like the song, is this wonderful little cut, tight, compact thing. Director's cut maybe goes on a little bit too long, but that's what we got on DVD. So I watched the director's cut. It's maybe about 20 minutes too long, but a lot of stuff in there that's still kind of worthwhile watching.
I don't know. Like, I don't have much more to say about this movie. Like, while I appreciate that we're talking about this movie, you know, I don't feel like there's enough to this movie for me to harp on more than what I've said. Like, I kind of shot my load too early, I guess. You know, to go back to your anal paradox, right? Like,
anal paradox. Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like a science fiction porn. Instead of the Cloverfield paradox.
You think that the song's about anal, and halfway through it, I tried to say everything beautiful I could say about this movie and song. And I kind of ran out of stuff. I got to be honest with you. Like,
it was beautiful and correct.
Thank you.
What kind of sandwich?
Probably a meaty sandwich.
Like pastrami?
Yeah, pastrami and ham.
You New Yorkers know how to make a sandwich, so I'm kind of curious. If you're going to make your perfect, sexy, that thing you do type love sandwich, what would it be?
Oh, I'd go with a Thanksgiving special where I just take all the leftovers and throw them between two pieces of Italian bread.
Okay. Christy, what's your sexiest sandwich?
No, I mean, John's beautiful and correct again, because the Thanksgiving leftover sandwich is literally the perfect sandwich.
But you get so tired afterwards.
Absolutely not.
No? You're still ready to go after a Thanksgiving sandwich?
Yes, I'm a machine.
Interesting. You Americans, I tell you, you guys do Thanksgiving right. Up in Canada, we don't at all. It's on different days. We don't have Black Friday or anything involved with it. We just kind of eat turkey and fall asleep. It's really kind of boring.
But nobody dies in a store.
That's true. Does that happen in America?
Oh, every Black Friday, I think somebody gets trampled.
Really?
I don't think anymore, because I think people buy online. I think now what happens is they just break their fingers.
Oh, okay. So a lot of finger injuries.
Yeah.
That's still sad. I don't want to end the show on a sad note. Christy, bring us back up. Tell us
Wait, before you throw the Christy, like you think that said, well, how do you think the vaginas feel on like Small Business Saturday?
What the heck is Small Business Saturday?
Small Business Saturday is a Saturday after Black Friday.
Okay.
And if everyone's breaking their fingers on Black Friday, how are all the vaginas on Small Business Saturday?
Boy, that's a good point. Christy, your thoughts?
I was actually just going to ask, if Tom Hanks could tell you that you looked good in what color would you like it to be?
Boy, I think any color would work, but I would probably prefer blue.
I'm a child of the 90s. I'm going to go with black.
That's what I was going to say.
I'm a child of the 80s. I'm into colors. My music was fun and happy. Even when we had glam metal, it was still fun and happy.
Like electric blue?
Who sang that? Because it's all over you, electric blue. That was a song from like that era.
I was just asking if that was the color of your shirt.
Well, it is kind of. It's actually a blue army shirt for Aerosmith. So
nice.
All right. Is there anything else we want to mention about this song before we wrap it up? I know, Christy, I want to propose one thing to you. I had a lot of fun with you here on the show tonight, doing a Tom Hanks song. And John and I, usually we bring on a guest and then we kind of go back in our regular rotation. And I believe it's my, what are you shaking your head at, John? You didn't have fun?
No, I was looking at something else. Okay. You shouldn't have reported that, because now everyone knows I was shaking my head.
I think everyone should just assume that you're naturally shaking your head at any given moment. But it's my turn to pick the next song. And I really want to do a song from a Tom Hanks movie. Christy, could I convince you to stay for one more and do another song from a Tom Hanks movie?
Of course.
Oh, that's wonderful. So we're going to be going to the movie Dragnet, and we're going to be covering City of Crime featuring Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd on the next episode. John, are you excited about that one?
I mean, you picked the Tom Hanks movie.
I did. Technically, that's about all you could say.
I mean, you picked the Tom Hanks movie, and we'll find out next week if I enjoy this more or less than that thing you do.
All right. I can't wait. Until then, on behalf of Christy McGee, John Mariano, my name is Corey Marcia. Thank you very much for joining us this week. And we'll see you next time on Backtracks Theme Music.
Now, next up for you kids, you get to make another record.
Can I say something?
Hey, the Fair Fae wishes to address us all, so is...
Jimmy. From now on, you stay away from me. Wasted thousands and thousands of kisses on you. Kisses that I thought were special because of your lips and your smile and all your color and life. I used to think that was the real you when you smiled. But now I know that you don't mean any of it. You just save it for all your songs. Shame on me for kissing you with my eyes closed so tight.